Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now 9:15. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Maulana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, how are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah. And we also take this opportunity of greeting all our listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, we were busy with Surah Al-Kahf, the commentary of Surah Al-Kahf, and we are currently doing the... We did the 7th and the 8th ayat. Today, inshallah, we're going to do the 9th ayat. Just a very quick recap. If you do want the commentary of Surah Al-Kahf, you can come to Radio Islam and you can get a CD of it. Inshallah, you can just ask the engineers. They will give you a CD. Or you can even contact us. If you have any input for this program, you can contact us on 011-854-1548. So a very brief recap on what we did last week. Last week we did... وَإِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفَى. That is the end of the 6th ayat, and we discussed in detail what's the meaning of هذا الحديث. It refers to the Quran, it refers to something new, and it refers that it will always be modern, it will never be outdated. If we look at many other books, you have to revise it later and later to update it, because as time goes by, things get outdated. And that is not the case with the Quran. The Quran, whenever you read it, it's always relevant. And then we come to the word asafa. Asafa, we said it's a sadness which starts very small and it starts to grow and grow until it finally eats a person up. Thereafter we did the ayats, inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu 'amala wa inna laja'iluna ma 'alayha sa'idan juruza. Come to the 7th ayat, it's verily we have placed everything on earth as an adornment, that is zina, to test which of them will carry out the best actions. That's after you see all the beautiful things in this earth, that instead of hankering after these things of the world, rather do something good. And وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. However appealing these things may appear, they will all come to an end. And when it does, then we shall certainly turn everything on earth into an open plain. So we've seen how beautiful these things are, but the day will come when everything will be destroyed and it will just be an open plain, and that is on the day of Qiyamah, Mawlana.
Jazakumullahu khair wa ahsanul jaza, Mawlana, for that very wonderful way and comprehensive way that you have presented the recap of what we had discussed last week. Alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you.
Ameen.
Do we continue from here now, Mawlana?
Si.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We did not complete our discussion with regards to the ayah, inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. We will inshallah try to do as much as we can today in trying to complete the discussion of the adornment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on earth, and the purpose for that Allah says linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala, so that we may test which of you does the better actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word inna. This word inna in the ayah inna ja'alna, the first word, has great emphasis in it. It's being used to confirm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the world is not some mild kind of beauty. It's not just an ordinary type of beauty. Understand that the one that placed the beauty on this earth, it's Allah. Allah is the one who made the beauty, and it's Allah who made it tempting. It isn't an easy test. Allah is the one who designed this test. And this is out of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hands. Now, if we recall in the past, we spoke about Allah addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and consoling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that do not become so grieved at these people not accepting Iman. You are going to kill yourself following them out of grief because of the consequences of them not accepting Iman. However, immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the adornment on earth. So it seems like on the one hand, Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that don't grieve so much. If they don't want to accept, it's fine. You don't have to die out of such concern. But at the same time, in the very next ayah, Allah also says, but the earth, we have adorned it, we have made it beautiful. And the purpose for us making it so beautiful is that by it we are going to test the people. So Allah is the one who designed this test. And it is Allah who made the earth beautiful. Now, you can imagine how beautiful, how tempting will this earth be for people. And it is Allah who has made this test. So Allah designed the beauty, Allah designed the test. And this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have control of. Now there is a balance in these two ayats. The one is of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being comforted, but also secondly being given a tough test. This balanced interaction between Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is found throughout the Quran. When you study the Quran, one will find that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks so lovingly in the language of the Quran, and sometimes so lovingly with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sometimes very stern and tough in His speech. Allah uses authoritative and tough statements at times, because the Quran is the final word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no greater miracle will ever come after the Quran. This gives the believers a different level of respect for the Quran. This should give us the due respect for the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the Quran so much respect Himself that Allah stands by it. Allah stands by the speech that He has given by means of the Quran. Imagine how much more respect we have to give the Quran if Allah, the Creator, gives it that much respect. Therefore, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself addresses people. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أهل القرآن, O people of the Quran, لا تتوسدوا القرآن واتلوا حق تلاوته من آناء الليل والنهار وافشوه وتغنوه. O people of the Quran, do not become lax to the Quran. وَتُدَبِّرُوا مَا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, and reflect on the Quran so that you may become successful. لَا تَتَوَسَّدُوا, do not lean on the Quran like a pillow is leaned on, meaning can't become casual about the Quran. The Quran is there to comfort you, but do not become casual with the Quran. You become so casual with the book that you do not take heed, you do not reflect, you do not contemplate on the Quran. Follow the Quran as has been mentioned in this hadith. Recite it as it deserves to be recited, by reflecting, by contemplating. In all hours of day and night, spread the message of the Quran. Beautify the Quran with your voices. Reflect deeply in it so that you can become people that are successful. The Quran, this Quran, is better than anything else that one gathers. When one studies the tafsir of one ayah and gains the reflection of even one ayah, gains the understanding of the ayah, which leads to action and practice and which leads to reflection, is better than anything else. Today, people want to collect. People become collectors. We become collectors of beautiful recitals of the Quran, alhamdulillah. We become people that collect the Quran in terms of its recitation, alhamdulillah. We become people that have collections of lots of books on tafsir. However, more important is we need to have a collection of the understanding of the Quran, and that would be the best collection. And therefore Allah says in this ayah, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْعَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. And this is how we need to reflect. Allah says, surely we have made what is on earth an adornment of the earth. Why? So that we test them as to who among them is better in deeds. There is a relation of this ayah with the previous ayah. The previous ayah, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. O Muhammad, perhaps you are going to kill yourself after them out of grief if they do not believe in this discourse. Yet in the very next ayah Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Surely we have made what is on earth an adornment so that we test them as to who among them is better in deeds. Some scholars, Mufassireen, say that according to this ayah, that Allah says that we have made whatever is on earth. The word ma ala al-ard, whatever is on earth, it's an adornment. And scholars have said, according to this ayah, everything on earth is beauty. And in this ayah, there is no special specification of what is an item of beauty. If you did realize this, then you'll know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, that Allah says in this ayah that has been referred to in other ayah with more specifics that fit within this declaration. Meaning, in this ayah there is a broad general declaration. Whatever is on earth, it's a means of adornment. However, sometimes Allah takes some things and some examples of that and highlights those. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayati dunya. Money and children are the beauty of the life of this world. So in the ayah of Al-Malu Wal-Banun, the children, money are beauties of the world. Allah has specified, highlighted money and children. Now, people who look at money, who look at their families and the children and enjoy it, they are enjoying the zina of this earth and they benefit from it as a place from which you eat, a place for your money, the clothing that you wear, your dress, and you look at it and you think about it. It is a means of beauty for this world. In fact, some ulama have even went to mention, for example, some mufassireen have said, and this is so amazing, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever is on earth is a means of adornment for the earth, a question may arise. What about snakes and scorpions? Can that really be something that is an adornment of this world? And ulama have went on to even explain, mufassireen have went on to explain, that even snakes and scorpions are adornments, they are zina for this world. Why? Because they remind you of the punishment of Akhirah, subhanallah. So even that reminder of snakes and scorpions reminding you of the punishment of the Akhirah, that in itself, that reminder is also beautiful. Everything that occurs, everything that you see around you, in some way or the other, falls under the category of zina of this earth, because it should point you back to the Creator. It should point you back to the creativity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also the case of your partners in marriage, meaning your wives, your spouses, your children. They are also beautiful and are also most beautiful of the things of this earth that you have. However, they are all part of a great test. And therefore Allah said, the adornment of this world is a means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you, which one of you is better in his deeds. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, no doubt, there is no doubt about it, that the worldly life is sweet. The worldly life is khadira, it's green, it's lush. And Allah is leaving you and allowing you to live on this earth so that you have a means by which you enjoy the beauty of this world, one generation after the other. However, you need to be responsible on this earth. Allah is going to take a look at what you are going to do with the beauty and the luxuries that you have. So be careful of the dunya and be careful of women. This has been mentioned in the hadith. Be mindful of dunya because there are things that are attractive, that are part of the sweetness and lushness of this world, and you do not want to be obsessed with it. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, or rather in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the female gender. Women are also means of adorning this world. But one should maintain the balance and enjoy that within the limits and the boundaries of Sharia. Sometimes, and we see that so often today, and that is another trial of the times that we are living in. The promiscuity that is so widespread, it results in the obsession that men have with women, that makes people crazy, that makes men act in a crazy manner, and they can lose all common sense and responsibility if they fall into addiction and obsession. So Allah says, أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The world is an adornment, whatever Allah has placed, but do not fall into addiction. There is an Arab saying, when a man falls in love, you can't make any sense with him or give him any advice. In regards to the zina of this world, in regards to the beautiful things that Allah has placed in this earth, let's not look at it as a means of punishment only. Let's not look at it that it's something evil, but it is beautiful. And it can be beautiful if it brings spirituality within you. And what makes it spiritual is if we are truly to reflect on it in a way that it reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty around us is supposed to make us grateful. And this is another form of zina. The zina of this earth is an added bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it increases the beauty of this ayah. If you were to be grateful, then you will be added to the people of reflection and taqwa. Let's take one very simple example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the lush and the greenery and the beauty of this earth. And Allah speaks about it in the Quran al-Kareem, that when rain falls on dry earth, and one sees this small little twig, a green small little plant coming out of the earth and growing, it's a beautiful thing that one can admire. However, that brings about another sense of beauty. And the other sense of beauty that it brings about is that it reminds you of what? It reminds you of Qiyamah. That when we will be put into the grave, there is going to be a time when we will be resurrected from the earth, like how that plant is resurrected. Isn't that a beautiful way of reflecting on this ayah? And that's what it's meant. That the beauty around us should be continuously and perpetually reminding us of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that in itself, if it prevents you from being obsessed by it, if it prevents the addiction in the beautiful things of this world, then in itself, it is something beautiful. Another commentator, Ibn Ashur, said that human beings vie for more and more beauty and more stuff, and this is what leads to conflict between human beings. Humans only fight over what they want that somebody else also wants. This obsession with zina leads to conflicts within society. It leads to conflicts within families. It leads to conflicts in businesses. It leads to conflict among neighbors and even among nations for the resources that are kept in the country and among nations. This is one of the fundamental functions of Sharia, to maintain balance between the beauty of the world and still remain subservient to the commands of Allah while enjoying this beauty. So when Allah says, لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, when Allah says, so we can test them, who would be the best in terms of action? The best course of action that Allah revealed that would allow the world to stay beautiful and in harmony without any of the ugly actions, without any of the ugly transgressions and oppressions as a result of greed. Allah has used the word zina. And the zina can be looked at in a positive way, not only in a negative way. That if this beauty reminds you of Allah, zina, the word beauty, is a commonly used word in the Quran Kareem. It is used in many different contexts. For example, in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates, وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالٍ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Musa said to Allah, O Allah, you have given Pharaoh and his group glamour and richness and the beauty in the worldly life, beauty and money in this life. What we are learning in this? Firstly, Musa alayhi salatu was salam says to Allah, you have given Fir'aun and his people zina, beauty, amwal, money in the life of this world. Musa alayhi salatu was salam recognizes that the luxuries of this world is zina, the luxuries of this world is beauty. There is a recognition by Musa that a nice house and nice clothing, it's something that is beautiful. And there is nothing wrong with appreciating the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created on this earth. What's wrong is to be obsessed by it. What's wrong to be addicted to it. Materialism is what is wrong. And this surah, Surah Kahf, has come to protect us from that materialism. Has come to protect us from being immersed and obsessed with materialism. To be immersed and obsessed by materialism, that's what's wrong. Islam is not in denial of material beauty. Allah cites material beauty as a means of your spirituality, as a means to your spirituality. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah A'raf, مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Who has prohibited the adornment that Allah has brought forth for His servants? And the wholesome things of sustenance, who has made it haram? In the surah, in Surah A'raf, verse number 32, Allah says, tell people, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ. Who is going to forbid the zina that Allah has attributed as His possessions, the beauty of Allah that He has brought out for His slaves in the form of their sustenance? Your sustenance is supposed to be beautiful and good. The beauty you see around you is Allah's beauty. People feel sometimes, and this is the balance that we need to maintain in our deen. People sometimes feel that the more pious you become, the more you have to be miserable. The more you have to live a miserable life. That is not what Islam advocates. People feel that if you are pious, and the more pious you become, you can't have nice things. You cannot eat good things. You cannot enjoy your life on this earth. Allah made this deen beautiful. Allah made this deen easy. The further you get from the Quran, the more miserable you get. So Allah says, the beauty on this earth is something that Allah has created. It is not something evil. How can it be evil? Allah has made this world beautiful. However, through the beauty of this world, Allah is going to test you. Which one of you is going to be better in his actions? So the beauty of this world, exclusively for those believers who show appreciation and gratitude. And how do you show gratitude? أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. What is meant by this? Again, Mufassirin have went to such beautiful commentaries with regards to how are you going to show your appreciation, how you are going to show your gratitude by doing good deeds. Allah says, أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which of them is best indeed? It means, which of the people have a more complete intellect? Only smart people will do the right things. Everyone else will fall into the zina. They will become obsessed with it. They will become addicted to it and will not do the right things. Literally, it is the intelligent that are going to survive this fitna. The fitna of materialism, it is going to be the intelligent. For disbelievers, this world was beautified. And they poke fun at the people who believe. Our iman is not just something that is spiritual and emotional. It is also an intellectual thing. Understand, when your iman is only spiritual and emotional, void of intellect, that causes most of the harm that people witness in the world today. Our iman has to be spiritual. There must be an emotional attachment to our deen so that we love doing good deeds. But it had to be coupled with the intellect. It's also an intellectual thing. Iman has a lot to do, has got a lot to do with intellect. There are certain truths that you have to internalize as realities inside of you, and you have to live those realities. These are laws of guidance. You need to understand human nature. You need to understand the physical nature of things that have to be settled in your mind in order to navigate your life in this world in an intelligent, intellectual way, so that you become emotionally attached with deen by maintaining the right balance with your intellect. There are immediate consequences of breaking the laws of nature. For example, you see the fire. Your intellect will guide you that you should stay away from the fire. It is your intellect that will save you from jumping down a building. The only difference is the laws of disobeying. Allah has placed consequences too. They are not just immediate. You have to have intellect and a mind to be able to see that one will pay for his actions. Hassan Basri rahimahumullah said, those that will be the most firm in abandoning temptations and have the strength to leave them are those that will have the right intellect, the right understanding. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi has said, they are the most spiritual in their engagement in dunya. Once being engaged in dunya, you remain spiritual. It is the emotion and the intellect. Not as a zahid, one that discards the dunya, is not necessarily one who abandons dunya, but one who sees like through a spiritual lens. Never fails to see the spiritual reality of things. So who is going to be the best in the deeds? Ayyuhum ahsanu amala means he who will be spiritual in the view of this world, and he who is not deluded and not deceived by this dunya, and he who makes this life a means and a bridge to the akhirah. And that's the intellect. A final reflection on this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say which of them does the most deeds. Allah did not say ayyuhum aktharu amala, which of one them does the most deeds. But Allah said which of them does the best deeds. When one studies the Quran and when one studies tafsir, there is a category of study which we call ilmul balagha. The rhetoric of the Quran, the language of the Quran. And in the study of balagha, one cause or one avenue, one department of it, is also to look at alternate words and vocabulary that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used. So Allah could have used, أَيُّهُمْ أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا, who is it that would be most in deeds? But Allah did not choose to use the word أَكْثَر. Allah chose to use the word ahsan, who is the best in deeds. Who does, not who does most deeds, but which of them does the best deeds. It is the quality of your deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from us, not necessarily the quantity of action. And there's a grave difference between quantity and quality. And this is another means by which we need to understand that the world has lots of adornments. And to be engaged in the world is a necessity of life. But do not become addicted, do not become obsessed. But live in this world in such a way that you have the best deeds. You manage your life, you manage the adornments of this world. And all the other attractions and all the other beautiful things of this world in such a way that it does not keep you away from performing good deeds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْعَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Surely we have made what is on earth an adornment, so that we test people as to who among them is better in deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say which of them does the most deeds, but rather which of them does the best deeds. It is the quality of the deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from us, not necessarily the quantity of action. The best deeds are the ones that are constant, even if they are little. The quantity should not determine whether or not you are a productive Muslim. It is the quality that will determine whether you are a productive Muslim and not the quantity. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes further, وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا سَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. And surely, we are going to turn whatever there is on earth into a barren land. A rough translation of this ayah number 8, no doubt about it, we are truly going to make whatever is on earth that cannot be cultivated. The beauty that Allah has placed on earth, Allah talks about the beauty. Allah talks about how through the beauty of this earth, there is going to be a means of testing the quality of your deeds. And then immediately Allah says, but remember, the luxuries of this earth, the adornments of this earth, the material of this earth, the money, the value, and whatever else there is on earth, it's temporary. We are going to turn whatever there is on into a barren land. We are going to transform this earth after it had been beautified into destruction and something that is completely dilapidated. This is again a reason. They are not going to believe because we have made this world beautiful, and because eventually we are going to turn this earth into nothingness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word sa'id and juruza. Inna laja'iluna ma 'alayha sa'idan juruza. Now, it's so beautifully described, the word sa'id and the word juruza. The vocabulary that Allah chose again, it's so beautiful. Sa'id is a land that has no trees, a land that has no greenery, a land that has no vegetation, completely barren land. Sa'id is the surface of the earth that is dried up, earth that is so dried up that when you step on it, dust arises from it. And therefore you find in the Quran Kareem, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about making tayammum, Allah says, فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. You make tayammum on the dust. The same word that Allah has used here, that this very green, lush land is going to be converted into sa'id. It's going to become so dry that even when you walk on it, dust will rise from it. In other words, it is not worth any cultivation. Juruza, the next word Allah says, is something that is totally dried up, like leaves that turn yellow and won't come back to life again. So Allah says, the land that will no longer give any more vegetation, and it's all dried up, it is used for the earth when it stops producing any vegetation. When camels and locusts or anything has eaten everything that is on the ground and there is nothing left to graze, from then they say these animals have completely dried up the earth. Sa'id and Juruza, when Allah said this, it is a land that is completely white, a land that is completely colorless, a land that has no vegetation, and nobody can benefit from it. After one point it was lush and green. Allah says this elsewhere, how he will turn the entire land into just a vast landscape. Then Allah has also used the word وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ. This is a noun. And it's a noun in the future tense. And a future that is a done deal. Meaning there is no doubt about it. That this beautiful land is going to become a barren land. So do not become so obsessed by it. Do not become so addicted to it. Use the beauty of this land as a bridge for your akhirah. That Allah will make everything on this earth with nothing left on it, and nothing will be able to grow on it. It won't be suitable for life anymore, and that will be the end of the world as we know, the day on which the earth will be transformed into something other than the earth that we know. Allah is saying that taken from this zina and from this beauty that you see right now, it will turn into something that is absolutely nothing. All life will come to an end. One mufassirin have said, this idea of the earth that will come to ruin and be nothing is mentioned in a number of places in the Quran. The earth becomes dusty, dust rises, which means nothing has been able to grow on it for a long time. But things did used to be grown there, and there were some remnants of it left. The things have all been eaten and chewed. There is absolutely nothing left to consume. This image of someone who is desperate on this desolate planet, trying to find something to eat, so he brushes off the dust, hoping to find something. But all he finds is a dead twig or a dead grass and dead pieces of eaten up things. Nothing good of it remains. Again, the summary. Allah will eventually turn this earth lifeless. The word Allah used was ja'ilun, means it's going to happen very soon. But ja'ilun can also be used to mean something that is happening right now. So although it is a term that used for the future tense, it also has in it the meaning of present. So it is something that is happening right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is demonstrating the earth becoming absolutely rendered lifeless all the time, all around. We see in the world today, sometimes lush places. In fact, just recently someone sent a clip about the Victoria Falls that is dried up. So we're seeing this resemblance, and we're seeing examples of this continuously. So despite the zina of the earth, for the one who wants to see, there is also Sa'id and Juraza. He can find it on earth now, and he can revive his iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used all of this. Allah turns the pastures into nothing and to black stubble. Allah does this in front of us all the time. He will do it eventually to the entire earth. But even now, life and death is being demonstrated on earth now. We see continuously people being born. We see continuously people dying. We see so many of the changes that is taking in the environment. All of this is a lesson for us. And the lesson for us in here is, this world is a temporary world. This material world is not something in which we need to become addicted to, obsessed with. It is temporary. It will change. If this is sufficient for us to remember that what is definite, what is permanent, is our good deeds. And that is one of the lessons that has been derived in this surah. From the beginning of the surah till this ayah, at the end of ayah number 8, this was a sermon, a khutbah, if you may, to understand. A khutbah and a sermon that Allah has given for us as an introduction to this surah, Surah Kahf. And the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now start talking about the incident of the sleepers in the cave. Inshallah, next week we will discuss that. This brings us to the end of the sermon, the introduction, the khutbah of Surah Kahf in the first 8 ayats, where Allah has given us a very beautiful understanding. First of all, Allah spoke about the Quran. Allah spoke about the attributes and the qualities of the Quran. Allah then spoke about the qualities and the attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon whom the Quran was revealed. Then Allah spoke about the message of the Quran, that it is a message that has no crookedness in it. Those that accept the message, they will remain upright. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a beautiful example of this world, the material world, the secular world. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave us in between a warning about the challenges and the trials and the ba's and the war that is definitely going to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah also consoled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in spite of all this, in spite of you being the correct Nabi, in spite of you having the correct Quran, in spite of you having the right message, if people do not want to believe, do not kill yourself out of grief, because you have so much potential, and if you reach the capacity of such depression, you will not be able to fulfill the responsibility upon you. So do not become so grieved, but be consoled. This world and the beautification of this world is an adornment. You have to live in this world, you have to be a realist, you have to live in this world, enjoy the beautiful things that Allah has placed on earth. But remember, it is a means of your trial. Do not become immersed in it to such an extent that the quality of your deeds are compromised. If your quality of your deeds are not compromised, alhamdulillah, you are able to navigate. And remember, whatever is in this world is a means for the akhirah, and this world is eventually going to be turned into something that is dry, and there is going to be qiyamah, where we will be resurrected. This brings us to the end of the first 8 ayats of the Quran, Mawlana.
Shaykh Mawlana, jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to Mawlana next week, Wednesday again.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.